Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Soap. Hope you're having a blessed morning and enjoying the warm humidity, as it's going to be a hot one today. But what a beautiful way to start our day off and to dive into God's word in Joshua 24, the final chapter of Joshua. What an exciting book it has been. And we're about to sum it all up with one line that I love in this chapter. But before we dive in, let's open up in a word of prayer and seek the Holy Spirit for revelation. He has revelation for each one of us this morning, a rhema, a word, something that we can carry with us and be transformed by. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this day, a gift that wasn't promised us, but you have provided so beautifully. We thank you for all the blessings that you have already showered down upon us, those that we know of and those that we don't know of. But Lord, we do know of the amazing blessing and gift of your word. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you for the revelation that the Holy Spirit brings through it. So we just ask, Lord, that you would open our minds, our hearts, our ears, our lives to what you would have to say to each one of us, and that your word would bring transformation, renewal, guidance, whatever you have for each person here. So Lord, we are diving into this final chapter of Joshua with expectation that we will hear you. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray all of these things in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. I am reading from the NIV, the New International Version. And once again, this is Joshua 24, the final book of Joshua. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites, but I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped before the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then all the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us out and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to you. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. And Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. And Eleazar, son of Aaron, died and was buried at Gibeah, which had been allotted to his son Phinehas in the hill country of Ephraim. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Ooh, I need a sip after that one. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word," we just read the word of the Lord, "your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." May the Holy Spirit enlighten us today and guide our paths, our lives, with Joshua 24. The first section of Joshua 24 is entitled, "The Covenant Renewed at Shechem." Shechem is a significant place in the Bible, as it was the first place that God appeared to Abraham in the Promised Land and where he made his covenant with Abraham. It is also said that the geographical layout of Shechem is so that it almost created an amphitheater and that a speaker's voice was naturally amplified. God wanted to be heard. He created a natural microphone. He still wants to be heard today and is speaking to us today. May we hear him. May his microphone today of his word be loud and clear. At Shechem, God made a covenant or an agreement, a promise with Abraham and then with Moses. Joshua, in this final speech to the people before he died, retells the history of the nation of Israel to remind Israel of the covenant and how God, no one else, only God, had blessed them, and to renew their commitment to the Lord. He wants to do that with us today. Yesterday, if you soaked or read in Joshua 23, that's when Joshua gave his final speech to the leaders of Israel. And during that speech, we read, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who brought you, who fought for you." Joshua continued in verse 6, "Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left." So, in the previous chapter, he's talking to the leaders. Now he's talking to the entire nation with basically the same message. The covenant was necessary to renew because Israel had fallen short many times from their covenant obligations to God, just like all of us during their history. They had just acquired the Promised Land, so it was good and right for them to once again commit to, honor, obey, and serve the Lord. Remember, once again, these are Joshua's final public words after a life of wholeheartedly following the Lord. So they must be important. Renew the covenant. Not to belittle this powerful agreement, but I relate this to my own life via my sugar consumption. Have you ever been on a diet and successfully followed the diet for a while? And then what happens? I know I have been tempted and then eaten those forbidden sweets that I promised not to because of my family's history of cancer, diabetes, and dementia. I don't want to get them. I want to live a fulfilled, abundant life. So I say I'm not going to eat them. But there have been many, many times that I have had to renew my covenant of a healthy diet or promise to reduce and cut out those sweets. If I have to do that with my sugar consumption, how much more do I have to renew my covenant of following the Lord and being in relationship with him? Well, how do we do that? Joshua knew to remind the people and himself of all that God had done. I know that I have said it before in previous soaps, but we are a forgetful people. We need to constantly be reminded of all that God has done by not only reading his word and spending time with him, but also getting into community to remind each other, to share testimonies, to point each other to Jesus. If you haven't gotten into a connect group yet, this is a shameless plug. There's still time. I love my Thursday morning Bible study and being reminded of God's goodness, faithfulness, and sovereignty through all the women who participate. My fellow sisters in Christ say very similar things to me, like what Joshua said to the Israelites toward the end of his speech in verses 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. That's what my sisters in Christ are telling me all the time, and we're spurring each other on. And then Joshua continues, throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. My connect group, my friends, my family who follow Jesus say the same thing to me. And throw away your idols. Iron sharpens iron. You help me, I'm going to help you. Allow the Lord to use me to encourage you. Joshua continues, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. My connect group not only reminds me of what the Lord has done for me, but they also challenge me to clean house. Like Joshua says, throw away the gods. Notice how that's a small letter G for those types of gods, our idols, and serve the Lord. Then my favorite part of Joshua's speech, his bold, decisive declaration. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He made a decision, a choice. Joshua did his part of the promise where obedience brings blessing. Today, you and I are challenged to choose what false gods, aka idols, do we need to throw away, and are we willing to do that and then stand up and declare, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This past Sunday, Pastor Danielle encouraged us to be aware of our mindset as she preached from Romans 8, 5 through 8, which says what Joshua was basically saying. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Is your mind set on God, and can you say, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord? My devotion yesterday in Jesus' calling for June 11th encouraged me to this end. And I don't know if you've ever done this devotion. It's awesome, Jesus' calling. I go back and many times revisit it, and I just happened to revisit it yesterday. And it says here in this devotion on June 11th, the battle for control of your mind is fierce, and years of worry have made you vulnerable to the enemy. Therefore, you need to be vigilant in guarding your thoughts. Do not despise this weakness in yourself, since I am using it to draw you closer to me. Oh, I love that. Your constant need for me creates an intimacy that is well worth all the effort. You are not alone in this struggle for your mind. My Spirit living within you is ever ready to help in this striving. Ask him to control your mind He will bless you with life and peace. Joshua wanted that for his nation, a life of peace and blessing. So we need to present ourselves just like the Israelites presented themselves before God in this chapter and ask him to control our mindset and help us clean house. Only God can do this. That's why we have to go to him. While reviewing the history of God's mighty hand with the nation of Israel, Joshua repeatedly reminds them and us that God is the miracle worker and not us. The Believer's Bible Commentary states, "In this succinct summary of history from Genesis to Joshua, one outstanding fact is evident, the sovereignty of God. Notice how Joshua tells the story. I took, and the I is God, verse 3. I gave, verse 4. I sent, verse 5. I brought, verses 6 through 8. I would not listen, verse 10. I delivered, verse 11. I have given, verse 13. Jehovah works according to his eternal purposes, and who can stay his hand? Such a God is to be feared and obeyed." My personal favorite didn't make the list in the commentary, verse 12, which says, "I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow." The hornet refers to God's use of stinging insects to drive out the Canaanites before the Israelites. I could just envision that. This passage highlights God's power in leading the Israelites into the promised land, even without the use of their own military might. Verse 13 concludes this section where the Israelites and we get to see the great I am at work. "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." What amazing blessings from the Lord are recalled here and then followed by the challenge, who will ye serve? A note in my Life Application Bible reads, "The people had to decide whether they would obey the Lord, who had proven his trustworthiness, or obey the local gods, which were only man-made idols." It's easy to slip into quiet rebellion, going about life in your own way. But the time comes when you have to choose who or what will control you, or, as we're being reminded, our mindset. The choice is yours. Will it be God, your own limited personality, or another imperfect substitute? Once you have been chosen to be controlled by God's Spirit, reaffirm your choice every day. Renew your covenant. The Israelites responded to this challenge in verse 18. "Yeah, sure, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua responds to them that they aren't able to serve the Lord and worship idols too when he says in verse 19, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God." He's basically saying, you can't serve him wholeheartedly if you still have idols. Have you seen the movie The Forge? When the young man named Isaiah begins to reflect on his life and priorities, he gives up video games, which were his idol, so that he could essentially declare, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Isaiah's mentor in the movie, Joshua, gave up his idol, the game of golf, so that he could essence in declare for his life, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." There is nothing wrong with video games and golf unless they become an idol and are placed above the Lord. Excuse me. What do you need to give up or sacrifice to fully serve the Lord? It doesn't necessarily have to be an activity or wrong priority. It could be a mindset. It could be greed, jealousies, prejudices, anything that gets in the way of worshiping God. As Pastor Danielle reminded us on Sunday, pray Psalm 139, 23 and 24 and ask the Lord to search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to ask ourselves after that challenge on Sunday, have we prayed that yet? I have to ask myself that. Have you prayed that yet? See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me, Lord. Search me and know my heart. Joshua's challenge was so serious that when they responded again in verse 24, yes, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Joshua responded swiftly and held them to their word by making a covenant for the people, and he recorded these things in the book of law of God. Verse 26 continues, then he took a large stone and set it there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against you. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Do you remember how the Lord used stones to create a memorial as a witness to God's miraculous deliverance across the Jordan River way back in chapter 4 of Joshua? Stones were of great symbolic significance to the nation of Israel, and so were covenants. David Guzik shares an enduring word that as Christians, ours is a better covenant, a new covenant. On the night before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples that with his death, he would institute the new covenant, Luke 22:20. This was the covenant God promised in many wonderful passages in the Hebrew scriptures. The new covenant concerns an inner transformation that cleanses us from all sin. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more, Jeremiah 31:34. This transformation puts God's word and will in us. I will put my law in their minds, a new mindset, and write it on their hearts. I will search their hearts and cleanse their hearts, Jeremiah 31:33. This covenant is all about a new, close relationship with God. I will be their God, and they shall be my people, Jeremiah 31:33. Listen to what God is saying. I will, I will, I will. The great I am is at it again. Guzik continues, you can't make the new covenant. Jesus already made it through his sacrificial death, but you can receive it. And in a sense, you can renew it. Once again, recognize how great it is, how much you need it, and how wonderful it is to receive and to relate to God on the basis of our new covenant. Ooh, this is powerful stuff. The book of Joshua then ends with the death of Joshua and the burial of three great and godly men buried in the promised land, the land of their inheritance. As Christ followers, our inheritance can be summed up as the blessings and gifts promised to believers in Jesus Christ, encompassing spiritual and eternal realities. This inheritance is not just a future reward, but a present reality enjoyed by believers. It includes being adopted as a child of God, being renewed from sin through Christ's sacrifice, and having the assurance of eternal life in his kingdom. What a gift, what a promise, what an agreement that we need to renew today and each and every day. And when I prayed to the Lord, what visual aid could I use to sum up this amazing chapter and my favorite line, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And the Lord reminded me of my household since I was a little child. And I wanted to share with you, this is a really big plant. And when I was 3 years old, I planted a begonia in a little milk carton in preschool, and I gave it to my mom for Mother's Day. That was, believe it or not, 59 years ago. And my mom, she nurtured that begonia. And that's the begonia today. And it's interesting where it's set in our house. We actually have two of them because we've had so many branches cut off and given out to family members. It's like kind of a symbolic of our household. But it's interesting what the Lord pointed out was that the side of the plant that was not receiving the sun, this side, is much smaller and has a lot of dead leaves and a lot of, lack of growth. But the side that receives the sun and, oh my goodness, the leaves are at least double the size. There's no brown leaves. It's flowering. And I thought to myself, that's what the Lord's saying us today. We need to be exposed to the sun. We need to declare, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And if we make that covenant and agree to the calling of God, our household and generations to come, this is a silly little plant, but it's always reminding me of being able to pass on that blessing and to invest in my family so that it will continue to grow and be fruitful and have abundant life. So I hope and pray that this final chapter of Joshua fired you up as it fired me up to make sure that I daily renew my covenant, my mindset, by diving into his word, by being in prayer, by being in community at Fusion and beyond and within my family to spur each other on to live out this covenant. So let's end in a word of prayer. Ooh, Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you are the great I am and we are not, because we couldn't do 1% of all these miracles that we have seen, not only in our own lives, but in the nation of Israel. We thank you and praise you for this reminder today to get to see you at work in the life of the nation of Israel. So God, we know you did it then and you still do it today. We thank you and praise you for Jesus, who has made this new covenant available to us. Lord, search our hearts. If there's anything offensive in our ways, in our thoughts, in our mindset, please bring it to the light and give us a supernatural ability to repent, to love you so much that we would be willing to give up our idols, our false gods, so that we can say, just like Joshua did, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." God, we love you, we praise you, and we renew our covenant today and say a huge thank you. And we're so blessed to pray all of these things in the name of the new covenant, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed day.